Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. Today, an in-depth discussion on how to help those with depression. We're going to share some new information from Michael Downey. And then you've heard me mention alpha-lipoic acid. Well, it's very important if you have energy problems, and most people have energy problems. From Dr. Megan Mitzfeldt. Then we're going to look at the latest on environmental issues, including all of those earthquakes in Oklahoma. Well, now they're saying it's due to gas hydrofracking. I mentioned 2 years ago that I believed at that time, based upon the evidence that I was examining, that in the very near future, meaning within the next 24 months, we would see some 20 states running out of water. Within those states, the communities that were going to be most vulnerable were your smaller communities, because the larger cities, Los Angeles, for example, San Francisco, Houston, they were running low on water, but they had the power of a concentrated population and the body politic. What if you live in a smaller community? I said you would really be hard put, and there'll be a time when you simply won't have any water. In the New York Times, which I'm holding in my hand, if you're watching, you can see this. It says, in California, spigots start draining pockets. Fines and fees raise water costs for heavy users. How heavy? If you stay within a little allotment, they don't raise the price very much. But if you go just a little bit above that, it can double, triple, or quadruple your water bill. In one case, a gentleman found that his water bill is now $5,000 a month. A month. How did that happen? It's going to get a lot worse. I predict that right now at least 6 million people living in the state of Texas will be without water within the next 12 months. I believe that you'll have over 10 million people in the state of California within the next 24 months without water. And it gets worse from there, but not for everyone. Then a commentary from our social issues segment from Professor Paul Craig Roberts, and this is a follow-up to an article that Richard Gale and myself did this past year. It's called The Hidden Hand, where we showed that it's not about the Illuminati, no, or the Bilderberg, or some of the other groups. Rather, it's about a relatively small group of people who have inordinate amounts of power, wealth, and control over our political and economic systems. Ours was a very scholarly report. It was picked up by hundreds of thousands and read. This is called Gangster State of America, and this is a sequel. He said, where is America's democracy? We'll take a look. And also, if time permits, from Peter Van Buren, Silencing Whistleblowers, Obama Style. And by the way, on the Progressive Commentary Hour, which is at 7 p.m. later, you will hear Peter Van Buren, Ray McGovern, Thomas Drake, and Colleen Rowley. These are some of the foremost whistleblowers in American history, talking about why is it that the left, for all intents and purposes, has not focused upon the whistleblowers, their cases, and how they were firsthand witnesses to our Constitution, Bill of Rights being eviscerated, where the protests, the demonstrations. We'll ask that question of them. But this is also called talkback, which means that you have an opportunity to call in throughout the program and ask questions, share thoughts and comments. Our number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And as of tomorrow, not today, but tomorrow, you'll be able to turn to your personal cell phone and go up and listen to this program anytime you want. That app is being added in later today. You'll have it tomorrow. Let's begin. I will be having an in-depth discussion next Monday night with a board-certified psychiatrist, an academic, a person who's been a psychiatrist for 35 years. And when I brought him on the program, I brought him on to a response from a demonstration held a week ago in front of the Javits Center against the national meeting of the American Psychiatric Association. And many of the people said, Gary, could you get a leading psychiatrist on and ask him about why they're doing all this drugging and diagnosing? I said, yes. In fact, I made the statement that it was my observation that his profession was nothing more than a cult that was over-prescribing, over-drugging, without looking at the consequences, including suicide. To my surprise, he agreed. I thought there would be a challenge there. And he then asked, why? In other words, why is his profession not learning any of the lessons of history? So we've done a lot of homework. You'll find this upcoming discussion between the two of us, I think, interesting. But top up on the list of psychiatric disorders is depression. Now, I remember growing up where depression was normal, but generally it was dealt with by the elders, those who understood life, who had more experience, and the ups and downs, the losses, that which, like a death of a loved one. Generally, it wasn't the loss of a job, because very few people when I was growing up ever lost a job. If anything, there were more jobs than there were people to take advantage of, which is one of the reasons that we had a strength within the common labor market and better negotiations for a better quality of life. Today, it's not the case. Today, we don't frequently have an extended family to go to. And if we do, they think, well, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist, I don't know what to do. And especially if you're a young person and you're confused by anything, you're told it's all in your brain chemistry, and that there's a pill that will correct it. The trouble is, it's not true. And so we're put on any number of neuroleptics, we're put on antidepressives, were put on even antipsychotic medication, or combinations thereof. There is a natural approach if you wish to choose a nutraceutical approach. I believe that it should be multifaceted. I believe that you should get in the hands of a holistic therapist, someone qualified and licensed in their field, to help guide you through the crisis that we all encounter in life. We all have our ups and downs. No one's immune from this, because we will all have death, we will all have separation, and we will all have expiration dates to things we never thought would happen. Just last evening, for example, I was sitting in a restaurant with some of the listeners. We were celebrating an evening together earlier in the year. To help the station raise funds, I suggested that an evening out, a gourmet vegetarian meal, and then a Broadway show. And people responded very favorably. The station earned tens of thousands of dollars. We had a wonderful time. But then a lot of people, unfortunately, for some reason, the station didn't collect their names, and they were left out, and they called my office, so we got them all together and verified, yes, they indeed paid the station. So I went ahead and, on my own dime, out of my own pocket, I treated them all. And because the station just unfortunately doesn't have any money. And as I was sitting in the restaurant, a friend happened in the restaurant. And I said, come on over and join us. So he came over and he was sitting there. We had a great time. Nice conversation. And I said, do you remember a year ago, there were 10 of us having a dinner here? Went from here, We walked to a Broadway show. After that, we didn't like it, so we went to an art film, which we loved. End of the evening, about midnight. So, yeah, I remember it. I said, now, just think of that. When you're in that moment, when you enjoy the company of friends, you think, this is wonderful. Because I think one of the most cherished blessings on earth is a friendship. And I value my friends. I'm very loyal to my friends. I said, but think of the people who are now in relationships or they've moved, so their company is no longer here. So they're missed. But in that moment that you're all having that wonderful dinner together and sharing that one evening, you don't think about it ending. And then it does. And then one day there's six of you having dinner. And then maybe a year later, four of you having dinner. It doesn't change who we are. It just lets us, the older we get, say, I really ought to stop for a moment and give some appreciation to who's in my life, what I'm sharing, and not to take anyone for granted. And I believe that that's how we should live. Take nothing for granted, because the day will come when the things you have taken for granted will be gone. We just don't like the idea of the change that we're being forced through right now. I counseled this afternoon. I counseled a young family that's homeless now, and how they're struggling and what they've gone through. And yet this person said 2 years ago, they both, the husband and wife, had good paying jobs, and they just didn't think about a problem. It just didn't occur to them that there wouldn't be the same future. But how, when they both lost their jobs about 4 months apart, they hadn't thought about saving, hence they had no savings. They were overspending, so they had debt. They couldn't pay the debt, compounding interest. They didn't realize there's such a thing as a debtor's prison. They didn't realize you can go from 18% debt on a debit card to hundreds of percent, where your interest on the debit card far exceed your cost. And there was an example of a guy in California, student on a debit card, who bought a $14 pizza, didn't have the money to pay for it, ended up paying $250 or something close to that. Now, who would have thought that's possible? You think that's bad? Try a payday loan. How can we get away with this? Why would we allow people to get away with it? Imagine the people who wake up one day and have no money, no savings. They couldn't last a day without some form of support. Now imagine what that does to them emotionally. Now imagine what the negative emotions does to their hormones. Imagine what the hormones do to their heart. It can raise your blood pressure. It can destroy your arteries. It's as bad as alcohol, stress. Yet we're never taught how to deal with stress in school. There's no preschool, kindergarten, 1 through 12, college. There's no class that says, life's going to be rough. You're going to go through challenges. Let us help prepare you. Here are some tools. No class exists like that. And then when we start to fall apart, or we hit a bump, we don't know how to respond. And more often than not, we have negative adaptation. Drinking, overeating, drugs, anger, violence against one another. So first and foremost, I believe in holistic counseling. Then something that has definitely shown a difference is SAMe. S-A-M with a little E. That stands for S-adenosylmethionine. And it originally gained notoriety as a safe and effective alternative to antidepressant drugs. And according to Michael Downey, he has found lots of studies where SAMe is equally effective as certain drugs in alleviating depression without any side effects associated with antidepressants. And in addition to boosting brain chemicals important to mood health, SAMe promotes the synthesis of other compounds that are crucial to functions such as gene expression and DNA repair. Well, we all need DNA repair because we're damaging our DNA every single day. And as a result of these biochemical effects, scientists have demonstrated that SAMe may play a unique role in preventing, treating, and reversing numerous disorders of aging, including Alzheimer's, fibromyalgia, inflammatory bowel disease, insomnia, arthritis, and liver disease. And so that's why in almost all the people who are aging, I'm always suggesting SAMI. Now, the compound SAMI is found in virtually every tissue and fluid in the body. In fact, it is so essential that it's required for almost all biochemical reactions. And because it's in virtually all living cells, scientists believe that it has long assisted cells in defending against destructive influences. And one of the most important processes SAMI is involved in is what is called methylation. Methylation is when you are allowing a methyl donor to support a multitude of chemical reactions. Vital biochemical processes in the body rely on methylation, and these include the synthesis of nucleic acids, the DNA and RNA, proteins, phospholipids, neurotransmitters, and SAMI and the methylation reactions it promotes help regulate gene expression and lipid and mineral metabolism and membrane structure and fluidity. So that's important. And SAMI contributes to the production and recycling of our body's signaling molecules like hormones, neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, noradrenaline. All of these are important because of SAMI. Your body's ability to appropriately methylate may decline with age, leading to increased risk of many chronic age-related diseases, including cancer, neurodegenerative, and autoimmune disease. So SAMI's critical methylation blocks disease and slows down the aging process. In addition, SAMI is necessary for the synthesis of glutathione, which means it plays an important role in protecting the body from free radical-induced aging. Glutathione is crucial for liver function. The liver is the organ most responsible for purifying toxins in the body. SAMI plays an important role in enhancing the antioxidant power of superoxide dismutase. And lastly, SAMI is required for synthesizing a group of compounds called polyamines. Now, poly means many, amines, the amino acids, are critical for the effective regulation of normal cell growth. And the evidence suggests that they play a role in programming cell death. Polyamines facilitate DNA repair, gene expression, neuron regeneration, protein phosphorylation. So, all good. But it really helps with blocking the aging of diseases, including Alzheimer's and dementia. And that is crucial. Parkinson's, definitely need it. Fibromyalgia, you need it as well. So that's our nutrient of the day. Now, also for those of you who find that you are tired a lot, and most people are, fatigue is right up at the top of the one or two of the reasons people go to see a physician. Well, pharmaceutical companies are focusing massive resources to develop a drug that targets mitochondrial dysfunction. And one of the major causes of the chronic diseases of aging is fatigue. So most of the pharmaceutical efforts are developing a patentable version of a natural compound that we already have. It's called lipoic. Lipoic, P-O-I-C, alpha-lipoic acid. I've been using it for at least 20 years, and it really helps the mitochondria. There's a lot of research showing lipoic acid's benefits on a wide range of diseases. I would give it to people with diabetes, cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's. And it's inexpensive. And there's lots of good studies on it already. Let me just give you an example. For many years, scientists have researched how lipoic acid affects insulin sensitivity and the severity of diabetes-related disorders, including heart disease, stroke, glaucoma, neuropathic pain, and kidney disease. Well, significant research into lipoic acid has centered on its benefits in diabetic neuropathy, affecting up to around 2 out of every 3 people with diabetes. And neuropathy, by the way, is nervous system damage that can produce unbearable pain in the legs and feet. It eventually contributes to the damage of surrounding blood vessels in the lower limbs that result in circulatory impairment, and that ends up in gangrene, and amputation is sometimes the only way to end the rampant infections and the ulcers. Well, along comes alpha-lipoic acid, and the German doctors have been using alpha-lipoic acid for more than a decade to reduce pain and inflammation in those suffering from diabetic neuropathy. And there are over 15 randomized clinical studies that have shown that intravenous administration of 300 to 600 milligrams of lipoic acid a day greatly improves nerve function and relieves pain symptoms in diabetic neuropathy patients. It's well tolerated above 600 milligrams. And so it works in diabetes. It also helps control obesity, and it protects against the leading cause of death, which is your heart and blood vessels. So that's an important nutrient. And finally, on the health and nutrition segment, eating rice boosts the diet quality, reduces body weight, and improves markers of health. This is from Baylor University. Quote, new research, partially funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, shows that consumers can improve their diets simply by enjoying rice on a daily basis. In the study published in the peer-reviewed journal Food and Nutrition Sciences, lead author, Dr. Nichols, of Baylor College of Medicine, took a look at 5 years' worth of research on 14,000 adults. Quote, our results show that adults who eat rice had diets more consistent with that is recommended in the U.S. dietary guidelines, and they showed higher amounts of potassium, magnesium, iron, folate, and fiber while eating less saturated fat and added sugars. Eating rice is also associated with eating more servings of fruit, vegetables, meat, and beans. End quote. I would agree with that. Brown rice, black rice is very good for you as well. And steaming the rice is the next way of getting the nutrients to be bioavailable. I do not recommend eating white rice, white bread, white noodles. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a little break and come back and start taking your calls on our talk back. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome all of you, I'm Gary Nall. From our environmental segment, and I'll take your call, Oklahoma earthquake rate breaking records and fracking can be to blame. This is from Common Dreams. Quote, Andrea Germanos, fracking-related injection wells are likely behind the remarkable increase in earthquakes in Oklahoma, scientists with the U.S. Geological Survey have said. The U.S. Geological Survey and the Oklahoma Geological Survey just on Friday said that the surging increase up 50% in just the last 12 months means that central Oklahoma is at a significantly increased risk of a 5.5 or greater quake. Since just January, there have been 145 earthquakes of a magnitude 3.0 or greater in Oklahoma. That's substantial. And these numbers are a far cry from the 2-3 point magnitude or greater earthquakes per year between 1978 and 2008. So from 1978 to 2008, before all the fracking, there were 2 per year. Now There's 145 just in the first part of this year. So, and there's over 10,000 fracking wells since 2010 built in Oklahoma. From Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, anyone who looks carefully behind the veil of words cannot find democracy in America. For years, I've been writing that the U.S. government is no longer accountable to law or to the people. The Constitution has been set aside, and the executive branch is degenerating into Caesarism. Government is used to imposing agendas that result from the symbiotic relationship between the neoconservative ideology of U.S. world power and the economic interest of powerful private interest groups, such as Wall Street, or the military security complex, or the Israeli lobby, or agribusiness, the extractive business of energy, mining, and timber. Dollar imperialism, threats, bribes, and wars are means by which U.S. power is extended. These agendas are pursued without the knowledge or approval of the American public, and in spite of their opposition. Professor Martin Gillens at Princeton University and Professor Benjamin Page of Northwestern University have examined American governance and have concluded that the U.S. is an oligarchy ruled by powerful, rich private interest groups, and that the U.S. government has only a superficial resemblance to a democracy. Their analysis is forthcoming in a publication in the journal Perspectives on Politics. Here's their conclusion. Quote, "The central point that emerges from our research is that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while mass-based interest groups and average citizens have little or no independent influence. When a majority of citizens disagrees with economic elites or with organized interest, they generally lose. In the United States, our findings indicate that the majority does not rule, at least not in the causal sense of actual determination of policy outcomes. The preferences of the average American appear to only be minuscule, near zero, statistically non-significant impact on public policy," end quote. A number of factors have contributed to the demise of democracy and accountability in our government. One factor is the concentration of the U.S. media in the hands of so few. During the last years of the Clinton regime, a former diverse media with significant independence was concentrated in five megacorporations. The value of these corporations consists largely of their federal broadcast licenses. To ensure the renewal of these licenses, the media avoids challenging the government on significant issues. Another factor is the offshoring of U.S. industrial manufacturing jobs. This development destroyed the manufacturing industrial unions, which were the backbone of the Democratic Party's financial support. Now, the Democrats have to appeal to the same interest groups as Republicans, meaning Wall Street, the military security complex, and the polluting industries that despoiled the environment. As both political parties are now financed by the same private interest, both political parties serve the same masters. There's no longer any countervailing power. The Obama regime is simply a continuation of the George Bush regime. Two recent rulings by the Republican majority on the U.S. Supreme Court are another decisive factor. The court ruling that is merely an exercise of free speech for oligarchs to purchase the U.S. government, Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission, and McClatchy's versus Federal Election Commission. A corrupt Supreme Court has invented a constitutional right for corporations and oligarchs to use their vast financial resources to form a government of their choosing. Private interest groups in the United States are so powerful that they can purchase with immunity the law. On March 27th, the retiring Securities and Exchange Commission prosecutor, James Kidney, said that his prosecutions of financial criminals at Goldman Sachs and other giant U.S. banks were blocked by the Securities and Exchange Commission's political appointees, quote, who are focused on getting high-paying jobs after their government service. in a recent test to ascertain the responsiveness of members of Congress to moneyed interest in comparison to voters, two letters were sent to congressional offices. One letter asked for the representative to meet with community groups in his district. The other letter was asked for the representative to meet with a group of active donors. The latter received by far the most responses from members of Congress. If you're willing to give the money, you got the legislator's attention. In the U.S. and Europe, there is constant propaganda about gangster state Russia. According to this propaganda, President Putin is a tool of oligarchs who use Putin to rule Russia and loot the people. In my opinion, this propaganda originated in the Washington-funded NGOs that constitute a fifth column inside Russia. The purpose of this propaganda is to destroy Putin's legitimacy and that of his government in hopes of bringing to power a Washington-compliant government in Moscow. The real gangster state is the United States. Every institution is corrupt. Regulators sell protection from law for well-paying jobs in the industries that they're supposed to regulate. The Supreme Court not only permits money to purchase the government, but also sells out the Constitution to the state police of the state. The Supreme Court has just refused to hear the case against indefinite detention of U.S. citizens in the absence of due process. This is an unambiguous unconstitutional law, yet Supreme Court refuses to even hear the case, thus granting unchecked police power to the gangster state. Another defining characteristic of a gangster state is the criminalization of dissent and truth tellers. Washington has done everything in its power to criminalize Julian Assange and Edward Snowden for revealing the U.S. government's illegal, unconstitutional, and criminal actions. Washington reeks of hypocrisy. On April 26, the State Department announced its third annual Free the Press campaign, a propaganda exercise directed at foreign countries that are not Washington's puppets. The very same day the Justice Department told the Supreme Court to reject the protection of U.S. journalists have under the Constitution against being forced to reveal their confidential sources so that James Risen can be imprisoned for reporting a government misdeed. In the 21st century, Washington has squandered trillions of dollars on wars that have destroyed countries and killed, maimed, and displaced millions of people in seven or eight countries. Declaring its war crimes to be a crime or war on terror, Washington has used the state of war that it created to destroy U.S. civil liberty. In the 21st century, it's difficult to find a significant statement made by Washington that is not a lie. Obamacare is a lie. Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction is a lie. Assad's use of chemical weapons is a lie. And so it goes. No-fly zones are a lie. In conclusion, that Washington would tell such fantastic lies shows that Washington has no respect for the intelligence of the American people and no respect for the integrity of the American media. It shows also that Washington has no respect for the intelligence and integrity of the European and Asian allies. Washington won't even tell the truth about little things. In comparison, jobs, unemployment, inflation, growth, domestic product growth, economic recovery, Washington rigs the markets in order to cover up its sacrifice of the economy for the benefit of a few special interests in the name of privatization. The conclusion is inescapable, but the U.S. is a gangster state. Indeed, the U.S. is worse than a mere gangster state. The U.S. is a shameless, exploitive tyranny. End quote. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. He doesn't have many places in this media to share those points of view. Certainly not on the corporate left, nor on the neocon right. I'm Gary Nall. You have a chance, however, to share your thoughts, questions, and stories right now. 888-874-4888. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. You know, I get a lot of emails from people, and most of them are, many of them are, like, health-related. People want information about, you know, protocols and where they can get help, and I'm happy to direct them to all of the various literature and DVDs and books that you have. And A lot of them, though, are, you know, there's a, some are self-motivated, most just want a couple of supplements. Then you have people in medical crisis. You know, family members that they want to help, they just can't get the person to, they want me to convince them to make their loved one want to get better. And of course, that's not what we do. I can refer them out to resources. And then there are people that have these amazing personal stories. And I just thought it was, always they, you know, things happen right at the right time. There's someone here, a Jean from Oregon. She said she used to live in New York, and she moved out to Oregon long ago. And she said her daughter and your daughter were friends in grade school. And we moved when she was 9. Now we're back in New York, and we started listening to your show. And if you remember, it looks like you babysat for them. You took it to the Riverside Park playground. And she says, I have an old photo of you and your daughter walking in the park. And she said, I wanted to send it to Gary, and she wants to know, did you get it? I mean, these are amazing. And she said, if only I would have listened to you back then. She said, and my daughter really didn't take a good path in this life. So one of the questions I have for you is, did you get this photo?
Someone sent a photo that's now up on Facebook. Someone put it up on Facebook that shows my daughter, Shelley, and I. I'm guessing she's about 4. And we're just walking in Riverside Park. But we did that every day. And because I was the self-employed writer and journalist, I would have more time. So a lot of the parents would say, can you take care of, you know, our kids? And so I'd take them all down to the playground every day, and they'd play in the playground. I'd sit there and watch them and write in my journals, articles, whatever it was. I don't remember who this person is, and it's a long time ago. I think that what we have to understand is we all make lots of mistakes, but that's not what's important. You can't learn without making mistakes. You can't grow without making mistakes. What we have to do is stop for a moment, turn around, and live our life in reverse. In other words, live it backwards. Take a day, one day, where you allow nothing to interfere with you. No phone calls, nothing. And take a diary or a notepad and just look at the last, start with the first year, going backwards. In the last 12 months, what did you do that was significant in your life in some way that either contributed to your happiness, health, and rebalancing, or what kept you from doing that, actually harmed your life in some way? What were the relationships that you ended, or what were the relationships you are still in, and which relationships would you like? But at least it's based upon what you did. And then we begin to think, well, I shouldn't have said that, and I shouldn't have done that, and I'm glad I did that. And then after you finish 1 year of everything in your life, then go to another year and another. Ideally, go back about 5 years, because it doesn't take more than about 5 years of looking honestly at what you've done to see whether or not you've been making positive solutions or negative outcomes. And that is what I've been saying for some time now about there's only one truth in all of our lives, and that's a truth that honors all of us. I'm going to put a wonderful photograph tomorrow of a baby orangutan up on my website. It'll be up there as of tomorrow. When you look at this, what you see is complete unconditional love. It just will light up your... You can't look at it without smiling and just feeling your heart energy radiate. Now, that is, you just want to pick up that little baby orangutan and hug and kiss it. But let's just say that that baby orangutan that's 100% love, unconditional, trusting and giving, that it's abused, neglected, even beaten. One day it's going to bite someone. Or one day, because it bit someone, it's going to be punished. And then it'll be isolated. and further punished. Now think of how many times in our lives what we started off with was perfection, and then in came the imperfections and the different degrees of dysfunction of parenting, teachers, siblings, peers, and all the other people that impacted upon our life. Most importantly, society itself. Does society allow us to be critical in our own thinking, in our own judgment? Or does it constantly try to micromanage our choices? And how susceptible have we been to that? Do we act like a shy and self-effacing person when we really have a dynamic side? Do we act as if we have no creativity when we really have creative aspirations? And so as a result, we frequently adapt to someone we're not in order to please others. And then one day, we've taken so many steps away from our authentic self that all the choices we're going to make are going to be maladaptive choices. And so then we're wrestling with how much fat's in this diet and whether I could stay on it, whether I should take the cocaine or heroin or methamphetamine or drink the alcohol, and how much, or how much lying should you do. All these things that happen every day in millions of people's lives. And you think, why? Why? Well, you don't have to go there. Just live an authentic life. And then you realize they can't. The only way you can ever live an authentic life is when you transform back to your authentic self, where there's no conflict, there's no artificial duality, there's no chopping, dicing, and slicing into 1,000 different belief systems, and you're trying to honor all of them. And then one day, you've just got so many balls in the air that you're juggling, and none of your essential needs are in there. So you just start to think, well, I don't have to be passionate anymore, that's gone. I don't have to be creative anymore, that's gone. I don't have to spend quality time with, you know, that's gone. I don't have to, you know, really concern my diet, that's gone. I don't have to think about who I'm going to vote for, that's gone. I don't have to look at the justice and injustice in the world, that's gone. I don't have to think about the world, I don't even know the world, I don't even know where anything's at. I don't even know where Spain's at, I don't know where England's at, I don't even know where South America's at, that's gone. I don't have to be concerned about history, that's gone. And you think, why? Because something took its place. What takes its place? That depends upon each of us and how insecure we are, where we were abandoned by whom in our past, and how we've maladapted and reacted to that. You show me almost every successful person, and I'll show you a person that is overcompensating. But you'd never know that unless you're close enough to them to see how much of their life is out of balance. So everything we're currently doing, from the self-motivation books and the PBS specials and the media shrinks, with the best of intents, they're not going to help anybody. Because just being aware that you have a problem doesn't change it. It just makes you more aware of it. And it can't change it because we adapt, our ego adapts, our self-esteem adapts to our problem. And therefore, the mind that's gotten us into problem is now the mind that's analyzing the problem. So it's going to come down on the side of continue adaptation, continue the ritualization of your life. And so we disguise our pain by distracting ourselves. Now, there are people, and there are many people, I'm going to guess around 30 million Americans, who are living very balanced lives because they've gone back to their authentic self and they've learned their lessons. So now they think before they do something, eat something, drink something, say something. And they say, what is the likely outcome of what I'm about to do? Will it honor my authentic self or dishonor it? If it dishonors it, I can't do it because it'll take me right back to being maladaptive. But if it honors me and it honors others, if it shows the sanctity of life, animals, the planet, others, without any concern of their ethnicity, so all people then are looked upon with the same love and respect, then you're back to that looking at life as if you were looking at that beautiful little orangutan, or being that beautiful little orangutan, and where do you see its eyes? It's all in its eyes. Looking out at the world and just loving everything, You see, I don't believe that we can have love and hate in a relationship. I don't believe it's possible. It isn't possible. What is possible is you have love. You either honor, in which case you have love in a relationship. But you better have the other person come where you're at also, because if they're not coming from love, they're coming from some degree of dysfunction and adaptation. And in that adaptation of their fear of abandonment and shame and guilt and betrayal, they're going to blame you for why they're not experiencing love. It's amazing in our society how what we see others experience, but we have not ourselves, we try to disempower that person as if by disempowering the other, we re-empower ourselves. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so that's why we had better understand what is the nature of our relationships. Are they loving? If they're not, why have them? What's the point? If you can't have love in a relationship, what is the point? Then it's only dysfunction to varying degrees, and we adapt to it. I think it's time that we just stop adapting to all the toxic, negative, harmful ways that we have manipulated ourselves or allowed others to, and then get back to the peace, serenity. So everything we do with conscious effort to honor the authentic spiritual self. That's how I would look at it.
Interesting. And yet there are some people, Gary, and it's as if their journey is not to come to any of these realizations. There are some people that are just too ensconced in their concrete minds that there's nothing to really influence them. And then there is that growing number of people who are beginning to allow themselves to be vulnerable enough to detach from this ensconced mind that's been so carefully conditioned and hypnotized. And I watch people disconnect from that all the time, especially when they come to your retreats. And it's such a joy to be a part of that whole succession of experiences.
See, I don't find people come to a place of vulnerability in their life voluntarily. I believe the vast majority of people only are even willing to consider any change when they have hit a crisis so acute that they have no choice. But even in the presence of no choice, you either change or die, you are aware of a man who, unless he's dead, was given every opportunity to live and yet chose not to.
Exactly. Chose not right.
to. And yet what hypocrisy, what utter hypocrisy, because this man has been listening but would not apply any of these principles to himself when it actually came to it. You see, you never really know who someone is until they're in a crisis. Then you see the measure of their friendship, you see the measure of their character and who they are. But that's someone that manufactures the beautiful facade. You know, you're in the peace movement, you have hate in your heart, well then why be in a peace movement? You know, you're in a liberation movement, yet you're not liberated. What's the point of the exercise? So we've been doing tokenism in so many of our efforts. And I think that we had better stop, take an honest look. That's why I said take a look and live in reverse for a day to look at all the choices you've made, and you'll see exactly where you're at. And it's not by accident you're where you're at. You can see it. It's there. Do we have the courage to look at the choices we've made and say, why did I do that? Or do we have the courage to say, now I know why I'm where I'm at. Let me learn this lesson. Let me try to understand that I cannot take itty-bitty steps back. Or I can't just change one thing and get my life back. I have to make a real transformative step, and it has to be back to the authentic self. You get people back to the authentic self, they're not going to be using people, lying to people, manipulating people. They're not running around, you know, trying to get everyone into their life to fill the void. They're different. They float with an ease. There is a joy of watching them. And we have a lot of people like that. So the good news is, for the people who show up for their own life without anyone else controlling it except themselves, those are the people who are making all positive choices. But not everyone is, even when they claim that they're into it. How many doctors do you know who are in holistic medicine who are in it because of greed, selfishness, and don't offer a single quality within their own lifestyle that represents holism?
I know that.
But the public doesn't see behind the scenes. They don't see that. I just think that, you know, most people will not change. Let me give an example. By the way, the reason I haven't taken any of their calls is because my engineer said that we had a problem with our phone line. We've been hacked regularly, unfortunately, and so he just rebooted all the phones. So if you want to try now, 888-874-488, we should be able to get you on. In any case, this is from the New York Times, and it says, in California, spigots start draining pockets, fines and fees raise water costs for heavy users. But it goes on to talk about how bad it is, and it's as bad as I said it was going to be just a couple years ago. And this is in Santa Cruz, a major city. So now it's going to get real, real bad. People are going to run out of water in a lot of areas of California. Millions will simply have no water at all unless you pay an awful lot for it. And I don't believe people are going to be able to afford it. And then the cost of food is going to go up because a lot of places will not be able to grow. They took 2 million acres out now. They'll probably take another 2 million over the next 24 months. So you're going to have very high prices. Then you had the bad weather. We just had the rainiest spring in history in Iowa. Washed out a tremendous amount of their seeds and topsoil. That means that if anything grows, it's going to be late and it's going to be expensive. We have longer winters. Snow is coming to Denver. The latest that snow has come there, 6 inches next week. So these are just the new norm. So between the loss of water in 20 states, permanent drought in 16 states, extreme drought in 6 states, you're dealing with almost 30 million Americans who are going to be caught up in this. The vast majority are doing nothing, absolutely, positively nothing. They're not going to relocate. They won't. They will look for someone to bail them out. That's not going to happen. And then when they can't get water, when they have no lawns, when all the... And by the way, communities are not going to make a difference for golf courses. The golf courses in time in all these areas are going to go dry. And then no one's going to want to be in a dust bowl. So you're going to see enormous amount of changing occurring. But those who are smart are making their moves now. Okay, let me say hello to... Sorry, I don't have the person's name from New Jersey. If someone's on right now from New Jersey, what's your name, please?
Gary, Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you. I've been a big fan of yours for well over 20 years. Gary, I have a question. We just got our second Weinreiner. He's only 3 months old, and I don't want to do any vaccination. I just wanted to know, which ones do you think he needs, or maybe not even do any? Just your opinion would be awesome.
All right. I would suggest that you go to the library and read the chapter on vaccines and natural pet care. And you will see that there are only a couple of conditions that I would recommend, but I'm not the vet. A holistic vet would be the person you'd want to speak to, and there are holistic veterinarians, and they're not difficult to find. And that way, they'll tell you which ones you should have and which ones you shouldn't and which ones you don't have to keep having over and over again. Because I believe that dogs are dying and sick because they're over-vaccinated.
Oh, totally, Gary. Completely agree.
The very things that we have done to humans, we have done to dogs. But unfortunately, the dogs have not had the advocates. They should. Okay? Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
We're out of time. I want to thank you all for calling. I look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day.